Welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for free coaching sessions just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, and welcome to the show today. I am excited. Woke up this morning, had my mind made up that great things are going to happen today. So did you know you have to wake up with your mind made up? That's right, wake up to make up. I remember that song growing up as a teenager. It said, break up to make up. Well, I said, you got to wake up to make up. Make up your mind. Be determined. Be steadfast. You know, be on point, as we call it. Ready to take this thing by storm. You have to, let me say it again, because I don't know if you got it. You have to wake up with a made-up mind. My sister told me some years back that her leader had told her, her instructor, her teacher had told her that there is nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. There's nothing more powerful than a made-up mind. So I want to welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, this is midweek inspiration day. We have Mr. Versi Walker with us today. He will be doing what he does on Wednesdays to inspire us, to motivate us, to encourage us in the things that we are doing, in our goals and our dreams, living our passion, living on purpose. Oh, you've read the book. Some of you have read the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Yes, your life is driven by your purpose so that you can walk each and every day. So, Mr. Versi Walker, if you are ready to take over, good morning, Pat. Good morning, Pat. What a day we had yesterday, right, Pat? Oh, we were moving and shaking. We just... so many great things happening. We can't tell you all about them right now, but some wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things are about to jump off, I'm telling you, like never, ever, ever before. For those of you who are in the Brooklyn area on Thursday night, the Church with No Walls, I will be there preaching. They will be having their revival. They're having a revival, and I will be preaching Thursday night. I am looking forward to it. It is my absolute first time to be preaching over in New York City. So my mind is absolutely blown away that, you know, God would send me to that territory. I'm telling you, y'all, get ready, get ready, get ready to walk in your purpose and your destiny. Again, I dare you, as my mother would say, I double dare you, you know, dare you with two D's. I dare you to step out and walk in your purpose. We are on point and slated to go to Cleveland, Ohio on April the 30th for the second International Christian Writer and Publisher Convention, scheduled April 30th for Cleveland. And then we have June 24th, 5th, and 6th down in Greensboro, North Carolina, for the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference. And just yesterday, check this out, just yesterday, we received another call to do the Releasing Your Inner Power Conference in Kansas, y'all, I'm telling you, Manhattan, Kansas. The woman called and wanted to know if we could bring the conference there. That's what I'm talking about. We said we wanted to make this conference a tour, and we just put it out there in the universe, and the universe is responding positively like it always does. So we're putting some things out there and some things that we want to be doing. Oh, yes, and for those of you, if you can get to your phone lines next week, we have several teleseminars that we will be doing. We will be telling you more about them. But now I want to let Mr. Versi Walker take over and do what he does best. Now remember, if you're in the chat room or on the switchboard and you need to just press your number one key, and that way I will know that it's you in the host queue. Because, and I want to welcome, I see we have a couple of 773 area codes there. I believe those are Chicago area codes, but I'm not sure. But if you are on the phone lines, you just hit your number one key, and that way we will know that you are ready to speak, that you are ready to talk. And I want to say good morning to Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, all the way from Tokyo, Japan. I got your messages on Facebook, Paul. Thank you very much for keeping us informed. You're just like having our private news reporter right there on the scene of what is going down in Japan. We know it is great, great, great devastation, great devastation. And so we will continue to pray for the people, the family members, and all of the organizations that are rushing help to the victims and individuals that are in need of food, clothes, and shelter. Those basic needs on Maslow's Abraham's hierarchy of needs, those basic, that physiological need, food, water, and clothing. And then, of course, his second level of needs, his safety needs, are shelter and security. And so, security, and so we just welcome you to the show. Also welcome our guests in the chat room. Good morning, and welcome. If you'd like to also call in on the phone lines, you can do that. Area code 347-945-7991. And there is Miss Virginia Dancy. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Also, I just want to mention on May the 14th, Minister Patricia Martin will be hosting her second annual 100 Women in White and 100 Men in Black. I know many of you are planning to attend that. Mark your calendars for that. For those of you who I will see on April 1st and 2nd for our Kingdom Women's Empowerment Convention, this is our third annual event. So we are just, mark your calendars, people. We're going to be giving you the dates, because you don't want to miss any of this. Let me tell you, the success is flowing, and you want to get in the flow. You want to be in the flow, y'all, because, listen, it's coming your way. And now, without further ado, Mr. Walker, good morning, good morning.
Well, good morning there, Miss LaLisa. How are you doing?
doing great, wonderful, expecting more great things, looking forward to some things that we're going to be doing around the country. I know you have your big day coming up at your self-employed. This is your self-employment conference that you're going to in Chicago. I know you're excited about that. So it's going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. Wish we could be there as well. But we will be here with the Kingdom Women's Empowerment Convention. Oh, my God. I can't wait. Oh, my God. It is going to be awesome and amazing. Awesome. But I want to turn it over to you so you can share with us what you have for us.
Well, you know what? Thank you. Thank you so much. I really enjoy and appreciate your enthusiasm. And, you know, definitely thankful and grateful to, you know, all the things that are happening, not only for myself, but you as well, and those, you know, around the country. You mentioned, you know, Paul, and, you know, I'm glad that he's safe and that he's keeping us abreast of what's going on, kind of like our ears on the ground and our eyes on the ground there in Tokyo. And you see, you know, people's resolve, people's resilience to, you know, still make it through, even in these tough times. And so I know, you know, on my trek and on my journey, I struggled. I know you struggled on your trek and on your journey. But being resilient, staying the course makes so much difference in the world. And then you can still be enthusiastic and happy about the opportunities that you don't even know that are yet to come while you're still living in the moment and enjoying all that, you know, God has given us and blessed us with. So I definitely appreciate and understand your enthusiasm. And on that note, I'm going to say good morning to everybody now. Good morning and good morning, good morning. I hope that everyone is having a wonderful and safe week thus far. I know we have some bad weathers in various parts of the country, and there's more to come on this new spring day. But, again, people, stay fast, stay resilient, and always remember to be fearless. And as always, as you know, and all the callers and listeners know, but I have to say it again anyway. I'm excited and glad to be here, to be able to join each and every one of you for our Wednesday morning midweek inspiration show. As you know, it means a lot to me, and I'm glad to be a part of this and watch this grow as other things that we're doing are just starting to mushroom. And as you said a moment ago, you just spoke it into the universe. And the universe went ahead and did what it's supposed to do, aligned those resources, people, and places, and opportunities to bring those things that you are thinking in your mind to visible manifestation. People, I can't express it enough. I mean, all great things start in the mind. So don't dismiss your thoughts. Don't throw them away. Don't let naysayers come in and just, you know, like cancer, eat away and chip away at your inspirations, at your motivations. You know, the one thing that we're on and that has helped many of us connect and reconnect was created in the mind, and that's Facebook. That gentleman created that. The thought came to him in one day. He created the whole concept in 45 days, start to finish. It is not what it was then today, but it has, you know, quantum leaped, you know, a millionfold. And look what it's done not only for him, but what it's done for many of others. It's placed us in a, you know, in a capability of staying in contact, reaching out, speaking to, being a part of. But that consciousness, that thought that gave birth, his imagination that gave birth, his innovation that gave birth. See, he didn't create the internet, but he created a vehicle or a mechanism that can be utilized with that other invention, that other creation. And people, you just don't know. You're just one thought away from that million-dollar idea. So keep on thinking the way you're thinking. Many thanks to our continued listeners for, you know, dialing in, tuning in, you know, inboxing us, telling us their thoughts and their feelings. Those who do put up their finger or their hand to let us know that they would like to speak or say something, we truly and gratefully appreciate you as well. And thank you also, Coach, for once again allowing me to be a part of your audience, a part of your mix, and reaching out to people and sharing with them my thoughts and my perceptions, you know, and again, trying to inspire others. Just as a quick update to report on what's going on in my world, on this coming Friday, which is March 25th, I'll be interviewed, Coach, by our good friend, author Deborah A. Brown Davis, on her Blog Talk show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And it's going to be at 7 o'clock on Friday. I haven't received the passcode and information, so that's why I haven't put it out there on Facebook, but I will. But I just wanted to let you know I will be interviewed with her on her radio show right here on Blog Talk. As well as April 2nd, as you mentioned, I will be in Chicago for the Self-Employment Expo. I'll be an exhibitor as well as a presenter. Anybody in the area, Chicago, Indiana, Milwaukee, Kankakee, Downers Grove, anybody in Chicagoland area who is either unemployed, underemployed, or just darn sick and tired of working for someone else, that is the place to be. Almost 80 exhibitors will be there with their business ideas and concepts. I'm also a presenter, so I'm going to talk on the ideology of changing your mindset from poverty to prosperity and let people know that there needs to be a strategic alliance with other individuals who have been there and done that to help assist them. And this is so vitally important. I want to expound on this before I go to the next event. The reason it's so important is just what I heard in the news yesterday. AT&T bought out T-Mobile, also known as the Mobile Solution. They bought out that company for $39 billion. I do not know the history of T-Mobile, but I know it does not have the lineage of AT&T, formerly, you know, Ma Bell. However, I believe it's probably just two individuals who created that company. And they are now bought out probably just 15 years later. I don't think they've been in the industry that long. But $39 billion, now making AT&T the largest cell phone carrier in the nation. The one thing that really struck me is, again, I do believe it's just probably two people who created that company. But why would AT&T pay $39 billion? And I thought about it. Everybody's talking about 4G, and everybody wants a stronger database or a strong customer base. You either create something or you buy it. So I know AT&T is not on a 4G network, although they tout that. They're still on a 3G network. I know T-Mobile is on a 4G network. It was probably more beneficial for them to buy T-Mobile to get that component, instead of creating it and having synergies or, you know, just doing duplications and costing them more money and time. So they probably bought them for that one reason, but not the only reason. But again, their clientele base, they want greater coverage, they want this, that, the other. But I'm thinking of this because the imagination created that opportunity. And so these individuals probably did something 10, 15, 20 years ago creating the T-Mobile mobile solution. And now they can be bought out for $39 billion. Again, people, you're just one idea away, one thought away, one concept away from your million-dollar idea. And that was amazing to me. Now, also, aside from the April 2nd in Chicago for the 5th Annual Self-Employment Expo, I also, on April 7th and 8th, I'll be back in D.C. as well as Baltimore, Maryland, at the Reagan National and the BWI Airport, signing autographs for my current book. And on April 30th, I'll be there in Cleveland with you for the second leg of the convention, Coach. And again, thank you for your invitation and having me tag along. Again, absorbing all the energy, information, talents, and, you know, helping me enjoy the fruits of my labors and what I envision for my life as well. This is a phenomenal year. This is a phenomenal year. And for anyone looking to learn more about me as well as secure an autographed copy of my book, Success, How I Ended Up Here, I ask that you go to my website at www.versiewalker.com. That's Versi, spelled V as in victory, ERSIEWALKER.com. And again, find out more about me, what I'm doing, what I've done, and maybe how I can assist you on your journey to getting what you want in your life. Now, Coach, yesterday was kind of difficult to come up with a concept or the topic of what I wanted to talk about. And I'm like, I've talked about this, and we've gone over that, and I shared this, what else, you know, is that I can, you know, convey to our listeners and share with them that I think is significant that could help them along? And I started to think about you, started to think about myself, and I was on the phone with my mom yesterday heading into the city. And we were talking, and I was talking about the things that are coming up, the expos, the convention, me being on the cover of a magazine that will be out soon. I'm looking to create other avenues and vehicles, you know, streams of income, but opportunities for myself to engage and help other people reach their goal. And she said, don't give up the fight. I'm like, yeah, Ma, you know. She said, keep the faith. I'm like, oh, you know, I am, you know, this is what I do. And so we parted on that. Then I thought about you and knowing that I think the 18th was your last day being employed by someone else, taking that full pledge and that pledge to, you know, go about your father's business, you know, following your dreams in its fullest capacity and letting go that safety net, perhaps, letting go that established, you know, I know on Monday through Friday, you know, as long as I get up, I have an income and an opportunity, but I'm going to go out there and chase my dream and create those opportunities, thereby giving me and bringing me more income. And I said, you know what, that's powerful, because I did that, you know, some 6 years ago. When I did that, I had came up with my first company, you know, J. Mark LLC, and it, the DBA, or doing business as, was Hot and Poppin', Chicago-style gourmet popcorn company. And when I created that business, I did think that I would be able to leave my job sometime in the future. And after establishing it and starting to see moderate growth, a friend of mine that I had brought in to help me with that organization, within the first 13 days, I realized it was probably not the wisest thing I did. And in an abrupt moment, it went from, you know, building this thing, enjoying it and watching it, to now I have to separate myself from a long-term friend because we're not on the same page, and this was my invention and my idea, and it's not his, and it wasn't going the way I envisioned. But I went from having three flavors of popcorn the first 2 weeks, and within the third week, I'm now selling 17 flavors of popcorn, all because of his assistance. So how do you separate when, you know, again, your child does great things, you know, helps around the house and may even support with rent, but when you come home, they're doing things that are unorthodox in your house. So I had to make an abrupt decision. And one day, I think it was the fourth week, I'm standing at the mall, you know, with my store, thinking, do I stop what I'm doing because I don't have anybody supporting me? I had to send my friend back home. I hadn't had an employee set up as of yet. I wasn't looking to do so. I knew that the first 2 to 6 months, I was going to have to grind and work both my job as well as my passion. But I was forced to make a decision. Standing in the hallway at the mall in which I had my business, I had to call J.P. Morgan Chase and tell them I'm not coming back, because I didn't want to forfeit my dream. And I know that challenge for many people and that struggle for many people, because the biggest thing that we're concerned about is what people will say. You left that good-paying job? What if it don't work out? What is your husband or wife going to say? How are you going to make it? I even had a boss ask me, weren't you concerned about your rent and your mortgage? That was actually least of my concern. Foolish me, because you need a roof over your head, because you just mentioned about what the people, what we need in the society, food, shelter, and comfort or love. I didn't think about that. I was so stuck in my vision and my dream. So I was thinking about that as I came up with the topic for today and why so many people don't do what they know they should do and what's in their best interest. And so the topic today is the top reasons why 90% of all entrepreneurs fail, or entrepreneurs fail. 90% of why all entrepreneurs fail. There's a simple fact that most people don't think about or don't think that when it comes to doing what they do, no matter who you do it for, that they don't understand that you cannot have success where failure doesn't exist. In reality, success and failure are a two-sided coin. They're two sides of the same coin, people. And the problem is most people get stuck in a continuous pattern of failure, never learning to or learning how to flip their own coin. So they go to that continuous job just because it's a ritual, it's a habit. It takes care of their daily, weekly, hourly needs. But they're not really successful. They're not really fulfilling their life's desires and finding that level of peace, because they're holding on to a piece of security that is really pseudo. It's false. It's not really security, because we all know, and given current events and circumstances, things can change in the blink of an eye. See, when it comes to success as a business person, as a parent, as a lay person, as just an individual within the realms of this universe, you can predict how successful an individual or a person will be in life, especially in business, by watching how they deal with failure. If a person can't handle failure, see, I mean that repeated, brutally painful, slam doors in your face, rejection, no after no. If they can't deal with that, then there's a pretty good chance that they won't make an impact on the world of business. See, Coach, I know with you, you don't mind knocking on the next door. See, I know in my heart of heart that you could not be given a list of 18 potential opportunities to share your word, to uplift and motivate and empower others. And on door number 7, you say, you know what, no, I'm not going to knock on the door. I'm going to go for me a lunch break. And when you hit door number 10, well, you know what, there's a mall across the street. I'm going to hit on door number 10 when I come out the mall. I can't believe, and I don't see that, I can't conceive that that's something that you would do. I don't think you would rest until you knocked on every one of those doors, until you got what your modus operandi was, and that was to hear yes from as many individuals who answered the door. That's because you want success in your world and in your affairs. Now, the reason why people who can't deal with rejection, that brutal no, that I'm not interested, you know, and the reason they won't make an impact on the world, especially the world of business, is simply because if you haven't failed often enough, then you aren't trying hard enough. One time, one of my managers told me, I was working, I got a phone call, and the lady said, I need to speak to your manager. And I know it was somebody I spoke with just the day before. She was calling in to give a complaint. I was relatively new in the industry and in the business at that time. I was frightened. I was scared of what the repercussions would be based on her complaint. And after he hung up the phone, he asked me to come speak to him. And we spoke about the situation that had transpired. And his words to me was, if you haven't pissed somebody off or made them mad enough, then you haven't really did your job. Based on what we do here, we're not trying to befriend these individuals. We're trying to enlighten them and encourage them to do the right thing when it comes to their finances and their affairs. So if you haven't pushed the button, you know, long enough or hard enough, because, see, you made an impact on her, because, see, before then, she was sitting idly by and not doing what she was supposed to do to take care of her indebtedness. But based on what you said and how you stuck to your guns, it forced her to contemplate on what had just happened. And so her reprieve was to call and get you in trouble. And, see, that didn't happen. I reinforced and supported what you said. So if you haven't failed enough in life, that just simply means you haven't tried hard enough. Nobody knows everything, especially their first time out. If somebody tells you that they have never failed, then you should probably run in the opposite direction as fast as you possibly can. Because failing to fail is failing to try. I want to repeat that, because failing to fail is failing to try. Without your failure, there is no success. And without those failures, there's no testimony. That means that you just have been living life too easy, too comfortably, not experiencing and putting yourself in a position for opportunity. That's what the risk is that you are not placing yourself in a good position for opportunity. Your success now will quantum leap. It will come a hundredfold, Coach, because you stepped out on faith. You'll gain your wings as you ascend or descend on this earthly plane. And there are so many others who are listening now who probably need to do the same. Their bedroom is probably arranged the same way it was 5 years ago. They may still go to the same restaurant for fear of risking, oh, if I go to a new place, I may not get a seat, the food may not be good, you know, yada, yada, yada. But you have to try it something often enough and well enough to become a success. There's a billionaire who, when he was homeless, had been foreclosed on, didn't have a place to go. Him and his wife came up with an idea. Let's go to the bank that foreclosed on our house. This was, I think, in the 80s when the foreclosure rate was high. It wasn't as high as it is now, but nonetheless. He realized that the bank had unoccupied homes, and in those unoccupied homes came opportunity for theft and for people to, it's not shack up, but to just squat in those houses free, but and by that time they're damaging the property. They said, tell you what, how about if you pay us $200 a month? We'll live in the homes, we'll keep the homes looking vibrant. People will see people coming in and out of it so they know it's occupied, and when you're ready to sell, we'll just move on to the next house that you have available. The idea worked so well, he made his first $1 million doing that. Then subsequently came up with another idea and created a debt collection company to buy that paper, those foreclosed papers, and sell those to major banks across the United States. That's how he made his first billion, and he lost it again. Homeless again. Created another idea, and today he's a billionaire 7 times over. But he failed miserably at numerous attempts at numerous ideas. But his resilience, those people in Tokyo, the grandmother and the grandson who was discovered, I think, 2 days ago, 9 days after the earthquake, alive, that's that resilience. That's even in the midst of failure where the building around them collapsed, but they still have a measurable amount of success because they did not stop doing what was necessary to make them survive. Now, what I want to go over is what I think are the top 20 things that make 90% of all entrepreneurs fail. And the first one, and see, this is where, you know, it becomes plain when thinking of you, myself, the listeners. for those who actually fail, they lack vision. They don't have a vision. Because with vision or envision, you know what? God will provide provision. He will make a way. But many people lack vision. They don't know what they really want for themselves or for their lives. The second thing is lack of preparation. See, you had some time, Coach, to prepare for this new leg of, you know, this new journey, this new direction. You thought about this long and hard. You had a timeline. I think you and I talked in October. You said, by the first of the year, I'm done. I need to strategize now and have things in place so that when I go out there and do what I'm doing, I hit the ground running. But you were being prepared. You were preparing yourself for any and every opportunity to release your vision. The next, which is crucial, is lack of funding. The reason a lot of people fail, the reason children come back home, the reason we have to, you know, refinance our house, whatever. It's lack of funding for our vision that we didn't consider in our preparation. We may have had a 3-month surplus and didn't realize it was going to take 6 to 8 months to really get this thing off the ground. But lack of funding will also contribute to failure. When we're talking about businesses, your employees, you would think that it is their desire, their belief, their duty to build up your company and organization. Nah. And in fact, they will help to implode your business. The wrong employees will cost you greatly. They will cost you customers. They will cost you merchandise. They will cost you greatly. So employees could be another contributing factor. Also, in business, again, high overhead. Having to have that Madison Avenue address when what you do can be done on Main Street America or out of your garage. See, that rent is a fixed cost. There are a lot of fixed costs in business, but that rent is the largest fixed cost. And then there's these variables, these lurking variables, these things that you couldn't even predict if you wanted to. A water main breaking in front of your well-established store, and the city takes 2 to 4 weeks to fix it, and your customers are diverted because they can't get in front of your store to patronize you, so they don't come anymore. And by the time they come, you're out of business because you were waiting for them and their surplus, or, you know, their abundance of gifting or giving to you, and they don't do it anymore. But you couldn't even foresee that. Some people do. They buy disaster insurance just for those, you know, those instances. But when you're first starting out, you're cutting costs everywhere you possibly can and didn't realize that lurking variable was there haunting you. Besides the overhead is the expenses. As I just mentioned, there's fixed cost or fixed expenses, and there's these variable expenses, these little things that creep up. Shipping costs costing more because gas prices went up. Well, you didn't realize that. Because now your vendor is charging you more on his product because gas prices went up. You already robbed Peter to pay Paul. So it's these expenses that you didn't foresee. And again, this can be personal as well as professional. You know, what goes on in your personal life will definitely leak over into your professional life and vice versa. So they're almost one and the same. Also, too, market changing. The changes in the marketplace. I remember when I was owning my cell phone accessory stores, I got smart 1 year and said, I'm going to buy in bulk. This charger for this phone fits 90% of all the Motorola phones. I'm going to buy in bulk and save myself $1 per unit. Well, that same year, Motorola came out with another brand of phone. They had the PDAs, which became extremely popular in a short period of time, whereby the flip phones weren't obsolete, but they were second best. And so now I have an overabundance of these one type of chargers, and I'm only using the charger as an example because I did that on multiple items because I was comfortable in realizing and believing that doing this was a smart move because if I could save myself a dollar per unit and maintain my price, it only increased my revenue. But I wasn't liquid. I wasn't as flexible to now buy in bulk for the other products and wind up chasing my tail more often than not. Buying just enough to make it through the week and rushing over the weekend to get more product in for the following week. That cost. But that was a market change that I didn't anticipate. It's that hiccup in the road. That's another thing that will contribute to entrepreneurial failure. Trends in the market, again, from flip phones to PDAs. I was able to make $100 easy off of someone's phone on a flip phone from changing batteries, headsets, light-up antennas, new faceplate, because the people were paying $100 for the phone, $200 for the phone. But when the PDAs came out, the smartphones, those phones were costing $400. The people wasn't easily led to allow you to finagle, fiddle with, or change the configuration of that phone. That was a trend. The trend changed. Also, lack of qualified leads. Lack of qualified leads. Being able to change suspects into prospects and those prospects into customers. I was talking to a lady yesterday at Bloomingdale's in Westchester, New York, and she was telling me when she had her dry cleaners, she stood outside the door of the dry cleaners every morning and reached her hand out and shook hands on everybody who walked past the store and said, hey, you know what, this is my dry cleaner. You may want to come in one day and we can, you know, dry clean your outfits or press your shirts. You know, we're a great family-owned business, you know, customers first. She said that drove more business opportunities her way than she could have paid for in a paid advertisement on radio. People came from miles away because of her customer service, her hands-on. She was there. She generated those quality leads that led to her success. That's another thing that will kill your business, not having quality leads. Running out of money. Now, I know it said lack of funding. That I meant for capital expenditures, building the business, the infrastructure, the marketing, the products. But lack of money, running out of money, will be another contributing factor to you not having success or finding failure in your business and, again, in your personal world and affairs. It will put a tremendous amount of strain on you and your business, whereby you may want to do the right thing by the customer or do the right thing when it comes to your business, but when you don't have money, you start thinking all kind of crazy things, cutting back on the product, pulling back on the ingredients, changing the aspects, not marketing, not generating leads, not going to those fairs and going to networking events because you don't have the money or you can't expense that. That's another thing that will lead to your failure. Also, refusing to invest in your business. Refusing to invest in your business. Oh, they know I'm here. They see my sign. No, no, no. That does not work. Everybody I know is familiar with the Golden Arches. They're familiar with Pepsi. They're familiar with Nike. Nike, Pepsi, and McDonald's still have not stopped running ads. If you don't see a Nike or Pepsi or a McDonald's commercial at least 5 times a day, you're stuck living under a rock. That's how they are well known. And if they were to pull back, there would be somebody else waiting to get into that market niche and then saturate the market as they have. You have to continuously put yourself top of mind. That's why so many relationships go awry, because people, oh, she know I love her, or he know where I'm at, or I ain't got to call her. No, you got to keep yourself top of mind. Competition is fierce. But branding is the most important thing you can do. That is the key component to your marketing, your business. Every problem with every business is sales, sales, and sales. But marketing is your biggest sales-driving component there possibly is, and you're responsible for it. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. So refusing to invest in your business. Also, what will lead to failure is not knowing when to shut the business down. I told you several times on the talk show here that I've opened up, I've actually had 6 businesses by name, 3 that physically got opened. And I also successfully closed 2 or 3 of them. You know, I would love for them to have still been, you know, going forward. That was my birth. That was my child. However, I had to have the good sense to know when it just wasn't working at that time or in that manner. So it's good to be able to open up or start something, but you got to know when to stop it. You got to know when to release it and say, you know what, that was just a learning experience along the way. There's more to come. Thank God for that experience because it's going to lead to me a better opportunity. So not knowing when to shut a business down. Also, another key component that will lead to, you know, having failure as an entrepreneur is not investing in yourself, not going to those networking events, not finding strategic alliances, not reading every book on your industry to know it inside and out. I had employees, Coach, that didn't even know, and they're sitting there half the day flipping their thumbs, looking around, didn't even know some of the key components and or functionalities of products, couldn't justify why someone would pay $14 for an item and a similar item sitting next to it was $29. Couldn't tell them, couldn't explain it to them, and it was right there on the packaging. Didn't say, oh, this one has this, this one has that, this is why this one is a better quality. Didn't know how to do that. Had to be taught that. But that's all a part of investing in yourself. Knowledge is key. Knowledge is key. And so knowledge is not information, it's transformation, because with the right amount of knowledge and information, you can transform your life. You can change your world. What you used to be yesterday, you don't have to be anymore with the right amount of knowledge. Now, I know the library is full of knowledge. It's full of information. But it's unorganized, it's just there. But when you organize it, that's when you have power. So invest in yourselves, people. Lack of exposure. Lack of referrals. Not identifying with your niche market. Selling, you know, baby food, but not marketing it to expecting mothers or mothers who have children. You just market it to anybody who comes down the street. No. Identify that market and then saturate or flood or strategically go after them. Have a game plan. Lack of branding. I know I just mentioned a moment ago with how McDonald's and Pepsi and Nike, their brand is top of mind. Lack of branding. Not putting yourself and your business, and again, top of mind, the forefront of everyone's consciousness, not having them believe. See, McDonald's, I tell people, you can make a better hamburger at home on the grill in the summertime, at the picnic, mom and them, family gatherings. They make better hamburgers. McDonald's don't even sell. They don't even sell hamburgers based on the quality of the taste. They sell it on convenience and speed. They'll have a commercial where a mom is stressed and she's picking up 5 kids from soccer and running home and doing this and the other and doesn't have enough time in the day. And her lovely, brilliant child says, but there's a McDonald's, Mom. Thank you, son. You saved the day. But they don't lie and tell you, oh, it's the best tasting burger in the world. They don't lie because they don't have to. They're selling you on convenience and speed. And they will make more money because of that. But it's that branding. It's that identifying that niche market and just selling to it. These are not people who are looking for a quality burger. They're looking for a fast burger. They're looking for a quick and convenient way to get full. Many of these people lack taste, so they wouldn't know if it was a good burger or not. It's a dollar. So that's what McDonald's does well. the next thing that will contribute to failure is fear. Those false evidence appearing real, that built up anxiety, that what if, I don't want to be embarrassed, what if it fails, what if nobody, that fear, that cancer is permeating fear that is preventing people from living their lives. That's one of the contributing factors to failure as an entrepreneur. Competition. Competition will definitely have you fail if you look at it as such. Competition, in my opinion, if you think about it in the right way, it can actually generate more business than you could ever imagine. But you would have to go back to, you know, the top things I say that helps and contribute to failure. You would have to be better at branding. You have to be understand the market niche. You'd have to, you know, have invested in yourself and in your business, and then competition would be just a blip on the radar. I made more money when a competitor of mine moved 100 feet away from my store. He forced me to go out and look for better products. He forced me to follow the trend. He forced me to say, you know what, I can't afford to, you know, nope, I got to stop saying that. He forced me to say, you know what, spend that extra $2 for those items. And then I was able to increase my price, had more product, better quality, and was part of the trend that everyone was looking for. And in 2 months, he was out of business. See, I didn't tuck my tail between my legs. I didn't do like an ostrich and put my head in the ground and hide from the tiger thinking that he ain't going to come and attack me. I played the game. You would have the audacity to move 100 feet away from me in my established niche, in my market where I already have friends and family and people who come to see me? Oh, yeah, some went down there, some visited, and some bought from him. But again, 2 months later, he was out of business, and that year I made 22% more than the year before, and that was a down market. That was when gas prices was at its highest. That's when, you know, stores and mall traffic was decreased by 25 to 40% because I wasn't having it. I understood that my competition was more so my friend because I knew what he didn't know. And I studied him and I knew my business. So a lot of people think it's competition. That is not why people fail. It's the mindset. And next is support. Is lack of support from family, friends, colleagues, and even business partners. Not having that support and grudging to do what you do because only you see the vision. Only you believe in what you believe and you know it's possible. But you have somebody, you know, those naysayers, those non-believers, unbelievers telling you it can't be done, you shouldn't do it, go back to work, what are you thinking about, you crazy, you're failing, you're a failure. You know what? Without that support, you have to be thick-skinned to do what we do, to do anything against the grain, against the norm, and shake off those naysayers. Some people can't live without support. I mean, you can't be a baker and sell your product if you're always in the kitchen. You need some support. You need somebody there to assist you to help get it done. It's the support that also will contribute to 90% of entrepreneurial failure. Now, believe it or not, with all those things that I just mentioned, they may all sound like failure or failing, but to be honest, there is only one reason that I know of why 90% of entrepreneurs fail. The number one reason against everything I just told you, market trends, lack of funding, no support, not investing in yourself, not investing in your business. Those things sound good, but they're the condiments on the actual sandwich, in my opinion. The number one reason why 90% of all entrepreneurs fail is simply this. They give up. The reason that grandmother and that grandson was found 9 days after the tsunami there in Tokyo is because they did not give up. the reason, Coach, that you are now doing what you do some 17 years probably after your pursuit or your desire or your decision to do this is because you did not give up. The reason our listeners are getting this information on a regular weekly basis because they have tuned in and tuned and changed their mind, and they are resilient, and they will not give up. That is the number one reason, because you cannot fail at something you haven't tried. If you give up, then you have failed. You have yielded. You have succeeded at failing. But if you continuously do something, if you continuously move towards your goal, and there's going to be sometimes you're going to do something, you're like, this is not in line with what I'm supposed to be doing, but you don't realize that the opportunity. You say, you know what, I'm selling Girl Scout cookies, and we always sell it in front of the church on Main Street. We always sell it there. But somebody told you that Borders Bookstore was closing. And you said, wait a minute. I drove by there. That was that long line of people. You know what? Let me talk to the manager and see if I can sell these Girl Scout cookies in front of Borders that is closing. See, people already have in their mind they're going to sell, to save 25 to 50% on their books. So that's 50 or 25% of additional resources that they may be willing to spend on your Girl Scout cookies. Then you go and you stand in front of the Borders, and now you sell more cookies in that one weekend than you sold in the last 5 years as a Girl Scout. Because, see, the opportunity to do that couldn't have happened on Main Street. It had to happen on Borders. So sometimes you have to deviate from the norm. But people don't give up. And with that being said, Coach, that is my message for today. Why I believe 90% of all entrepreneurs fail is not those other things I talk about. Those other 20 things that I mentioned are not the number one contributing factor to why people fail, is when they give up and then they cede. They say, you know what, uncle, I give up. That's when you fail. Take it away.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Why businesses fail, great stuff, great stuff. I know you gave a lot of reasons why, and then you came back with the one main reason why people fail, and we know that's at business, that's at life, that's at failing at anything. Is exactly, boils down to, well, put it like this. If you give up at anything, you will fail. So giving up is certainly something that will make, I would definitely agree with you that people need to really address their stick-to-itness, mm-hmm. their ability to stick to things. You know, my mother used to use that word a lot, and she would say, you know, when I was growing up, you just don't have any stick-to-itness. You got to mm-hmm. stick to it. And that's what you're saying, the same thing. Don't give up. It's the same thing. Stick to it. Correct. Don't give up. Stick to that algebra homework. Stick to mm-hmm. it. Don't give up. You will succeed.
Amen.
Yes. Don't give up. Stick to it. And get to it. Get to it. In other words, get to work. You can't
you
sit
go.
At home and watch television and expect your business to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get out there. Get busy. Knock, like you said, knock on those doors. Talk to people. Go out there. Ask people to do business with you. You know, I found, Mr. Walker, that it is becoming increasingly more easy to ask people for their business.
Right. It really is.
Yeah, you know, there was a time when that seemed almost literally impossible to me. I could not, you know, figure out how I'm going to ask someone for their business. And I'm thinking, okay, but Red Lobster asks me for their business every day. Macy's is constantly asking me for their business. You know, American Airlines is asking us for their business. Jamaica, Carnival Cruise Line, constantly. As a matter of fact, I just got something the other day from the Poconos. I got a postcard that said, come back. We'll give you a special discount. These people have no qualms about asking us for their business.
They're not embarrassed one bit.
They're not, and they've spent money on doing it. It cost them some money to send out that postcard.
Yeah.
So they have even paid to, you know, take a chance. See, it costs, you know, my mother used to say it costs to be the boss. They paid money, took a chance, and sent me this postcard asking me, will I come back and stay with them, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And this I think, is very, very critical for business owners, especially in the times like these that we have. Now, what I'm going to do, just to see, I don't know how long you have to be with us, but to see if anyone wanted to make a comment, if you have a question, maybe you have an outburst. Well, we'll definitely take, there you go. So it's light one right there. You may have a comment. My MBA professor, one of them used to always say that. She was so funny. She never closed the class without asking us if we had a question, a comment, or an outburst. And back then, of course, I adopted that and been saying it ever since. But so, yes, if you have a comment or a question that you would like to pose to Mr. Versie Walker while he's still here on the line, you have a few minutes to do that. If you're on the phone lines, all you would need to do is to raise your number one key. Your hand will be raised on the switchboard and will notice that it is. And it's so funny, when I was radio studio, the switchboard was so complicated.
Okay.
I remember thinking, I will never be able to work a radio switchboard, you know. You have to be careful what you say. I thought, wow, that's just way too complicated. All these buttons going every which way, computer screens and the like. And so, but in my mind, thinking, wow, if I could ever work that, I'll really be doing something. So here I sit today working the switchboard.
Making it do what it do.
Thanks to Blog Talk Radio, certainly a lot less complicated than traditional radio studios. I love how the internet can so simplify things.
Now you're living your dream.
Yes, living the dream. And, you know, people really can live their dream. It's really not that complicated. It's really not that hard. It does take work, but everything takes work. So again, I offer you to take this time to make your comments, ask your questions, make your statement. You have about 39 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. We have a few people here on the line that we could just, I could just open up their phone line, wait for them to ask a question. As a matter of
fact,
I'll ask them a question.
Okay.
So, good morning, area code 336. You're on the air with author Versie Walker and Coach LaLisa. Good morning. I believe this is Virginia. Probably has us on mute. Good morning, Virginia. Good morning. You're on the air with author Versie Walker, motivational speaker.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Surprise, surprise.
Yes.
How are you today?
I am doing well. And yourself?
We are doing great and wonderful. We are all excited. And
yes, we are. And getting more excited each day. Looking forward to what's going to happen this summer.
Yes, it's going to be a great, great summer. And so that's what we have, Virginia on the line, and she's referring to a conference that's going to be happening down there that
June.
Yes, in June. She's coordinating everything, and so we are so thankful and grateful for her for helping with that and down there, you know, running the show, and she's doing a fantastic job. And we know we still have some also in the chat room. And again, if you're in the chat room, if you can't pick up the phone lines and you'd like to type your comment or question in, I will share it with Mr. Walker. But I know there has to be some reaction. And I know there's been reaction in the chat room to what you were talking about in terms
Perfect.
Of failing and, you know, trying again. I'm not sure if you're in the chat room also, Mr. Walker. I know some guests do both. They do both the chat room and the... Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was saying yes. No, I was checking out the chat room as well. So, yes,
okay,
got to do
okay.
them both.
Okay, good. So you can, because you can always, you know, address those people that are there. But so Miss Virginia is getting ready for all this happening, not only June, but many other projects that she is also a part of and working on. And she has some great projects going on and places that she's also traveling to. And I learned that she is very, very, very involved with helping people who are in trouble, and that's so many good. Oh, by the way, it's not quite April yet. Well, for those of you who don't know, you know, April is Abuse Awareness Month. So it is similar to, it could be similar to domestic violence, but not quite the same. But, you know, it's in the same field. I mean, domestic violence is also abuse, no doubt. But this abuse somewhat tries to focus and raise awareness against child abuse, so, or like sexual abuse with children, and or it could be sexual abuse against adults. You know, there's a thing, you know, called sexual assault. It may not be from your husband or your spouse or your wife, because we're not saying that men are the only ones who abuse. No. Don't get it twisted. We know that wives also abuse and also commit domestic violence against husbands. But traditionally, October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and April has been termed Abuse Month for several years now. And so look for various organizations to have some type of awareness day, event, program, conference, seminar. Television shows will be bringing on people who have been sexually abused. I was recently, just yesterday, was taped for a show. I was the expert guest on the show, and Ms. Kay Serena Willer Weaver was the other guest on the show to share our stories of having been sexually abused. So bringing awareness, but people might think, well, why do you tell your story? Well, how do you think you're going to get aware of something if people don't tell their story? I don't get it. The two go together. Somebody has to be bold enough and have enough, you know, courage to stand up and say what happened if you're going to bring awareness to stop it. So we talked about a lot of things. There's a 1-800 number that will go across the screen, and we'll let you know when that show is going to air, probably next Friday on YouTube. So we'll definitely keep you posted on that. And that was exciting to, you know, be a part of that. Also, Ms. Dancy, yes, did you get a chance to make your comment, your question, or your outburst?
I don't have any outburst. But what you were just saying is that even the Bible says that we can overcome by the other testimonies. So if you testify to what have happened to you, then other people can be an overcomer from what they hear you have been through. So I believe, you know, our testimony help other people. I truly believe that.
I truly believe that too, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Most definitely. It's just like Mr. Walker here today is sharing testimony about overcoming failure so that other business owners or those who are looking, potential business owners, can say, oh, I can now avoid that. So, it's, you know, testimony, some people have testimonies of medical testimonies. In Mr. Walker's case, it sounds like a testimony of, you know, a business for financial testimony. Certainly no one wants to go into business and fail. However, individuals who, there are many people, well, most people that I know in business, and I'm sure Mr. Walker has seen the same thing, they never look at their situations that don't work out as true failures, though it is a form of failure, because mostly they're looking at lessons learned. They're looking at, you know, someone said, it's not failure, it's an experience. And so you take the so-called failure and you make it an experience, and then you say, okay, what did I learn from that?
Alexander Graham Bell called them learning experiences, you know, not to do that again a second time.
Okay. There you go. Now we have another caller. Go ahead, yes. Go ahead, Mr. Walker.
And that's what the experience is supposed to teach you. You know what, been there, done that, well, I don't have to do it again. And I think more people, if they can listen to individuals such as ourselves, they can find a happy medium, because you don't always have to fall in the pitfall. If you can learn from somebody else's experience, it's a great opportunity. And that's what the sharing is about. That's why we're providing this information. Want to let people know that they're not in this alone, too, that they're not the only person that this has happened or is happening to, and there is a way out.
Okay, absolutely, there is. Now, I'm going to open up this other phone line, see if this person has a comment, question, or an outburst. Area code 513, you're on the air with author Versie Walker, Coach LaLisa, and also Ms. Virginia Dancy. Area code 513, you're on the air. Okay, possibly that person did not mean to hit their number one key. And sometimes people tell me when I talk to them later, I never meant to be on the air. I didn't hit my number one key. So let's see. We have a few more callers here. Let's see if they have a comment, a question, or an outburst. Area code 267, you are on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from. Caller 267, you're on the air. I realize that sometimes people have their phone on mute, and it takes them a minute or two to get off mute. And then there are people, caller 267. Okay. So we also realize that there are people on the air who do not wish to speak, and we are okay with that as well. Let's see, we have another caller here. Yes, area code 773, the other 773. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. How are you?
Oh, that's a wonderful word. I am doing fantastic. My name is Charles Griggs, a.k.a. Mr. G from Chicago. Hello, Versie. How you doing?
We got Chicago in the house. Good morning, my brother. Good morning.
Good morning. My
Good
team
morning.
Coaches, you guys sound wonderful. I'm just making a comment slash outburst. I am on my way to work, so I only have a few more minutes now. I've been on the air for 1 hour listening to it. You guys have pumped me up. I'm fired up. I am also a mobile personal trainer, and I am just going to pump my clients up and get them going first thing this morning. I commend you guys on what you're doing. Keep on doing it. I see your vision. I hear your statements and comments. It is great. I just want to say continue doing what you're doing.
You know what, Charles? I thank you. I want to comment on, he's not just Charles Griggs. This guy, we went to high school together there in Chicago. This is one committed, focused brother. He's the individual. You know what? He's to me, LaLisa, what I am to you. See, with Coach LaLisa, when I tell her I'm going to be somewhere, she don't call me the night before. She don't, you know, double check with me. She don't make sure and keep, you know, talking to me, or I keep promising her. She knows once I say it, I'm committed to it. When Charles says something, he's committed to it. He puts his money, his time, his effort, and his energy where his mouth is. And we need more individuals like this who have that committed and that stick-to-itness that you talked about, Coach. And I thank you for being on the air. I thank you for commenting and letting me know that you're out there and supporting me. I truly appreciate it. And I definitely look forward to seeing you when I'm back in Chicago next week.
That's right. April the 2nd, correct?
April the 2nd. I'm in the house.
All
so
right.
Thank you so
awesome.
Much. Have a great
yes.
day. And tell more of our people to go ahead and tune in.
Will do. I will share the message and word and information to everyone I have out there.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
All
awesome.
Right.
Well, have a great day and a great workout. Get those people pumped up, because we know that our bodies are critical to our success. So
absolutely.
Great job you're doing. Awesome. I tell you, we were looking at some workout stuff yesterday, myself and Pat, and you know, we were talking to Dr. Shea down there in Atlanta over the weekend, and we realized that, people, it is time to get our bodies in gear, not just because it's springtime, but because we want to live. Yes.
That's right. Well,
yes.
You continue on,
yes.
on your journey on the fitness. If you have any comments and questions, Versi has my information, please share, and we can go from there. I have to go now.
Okay.
You guys take care. Be blessed.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you, and we'll try to
all right.
get you on the show. So, yes, awesome. So get some, listen, all, you know, fitness is like motivation. You can never get enough of it.
You can never get enough of
you,
it. That's the truth. That's
never.
The truth. And
you know what?
He's committed to, you know, having people have a healthier, happier life. So, again,
yes.
kudos to him. I really appreciate him chiming in today.
Yes. Yes, it's you know, fitness and motivation go together. I don't know who can't figure that out. You know, we had stopped by a workout place yesterday, myself and Minister Pat, and, you know, it's like I began to talk to the fitness person about doing some motivational things there, and she looked at me kind of like puzzled. I'm like, okay, ma'am, if you haven't understood that people, your room isn't filled because people aren't motivated to get here, then you know what, you got an issue, because every fitness person, that even people that just deal with just straight losing weight, like your Weight Watcher type of people and your Jenny Craig, even these people know that folks must be motivated to stay with these guides, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like what you're talking about.
They both
don't give up.
They both
go ahead,
together.
Ms.
Because
yes.
they get your adrenaline working.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
I tried to work out. Hello? When I say, not that kind of hello. That's my little,
like,
that's
wake
not
up.
The kind
get
of
it.
Hello. Like, hello, people? No.
mm-hmm.
But, yes, my hello is like Wendy Williams saying, how you doing? So mm-hmm. it's just something I throw in every second or two. But, yes, motivate. How in the world? Why? That's why so many people aren't keeping up with things, because they're not motivated. And we've had many people, Mr. Walker, you know this, that have said to us, to you, they put it on our Facebook pages that, you know, listening to the show increases their motivation. It improves their motivation to keep going. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, some people say, you know, motivation, a couple of motivational speakers will tell you that motivation is like taking a bath. You know, you take a bath every day. So you need motivation every day. You know, you have to stay reminded that, because, you know, so many things happen in a given day, all right? And so you want to be reminded of where you're headed, where you're going. It's easy to get sidetracked. You know, look at how, just in what happened in Japan. If you weren't careful, you could have gotten so sucked into the tragedy where you could have lost all focus of where you're headed. You see, and what would have caused that would have been the media. If you were a person that, you know, got sucked into all the news flashes on the internet, on television, on your phones, you know, wherever, on your iPods, on your iPads, all the various places that we see the media, billboards, what have you. So you have to be motivated. But so definitely congratulations to your friend, your fitness person, and that they're doing a good work. They're really doing a good work. So let's see. Area code 513, your hand's been up, but I don't think you have a question. But maybe you have a comment.
No, I do not. I'm sorry. I have no question nor comment. Thank you. I'm sorry.
Do you have an outburst?
No problem.
No, I'm just kidding.
No problem.
We're thanking you for being there, 513.
You're very welcome. I'm enjoying the show. But I know it gets loud in here. I don't know how my phone did that.
You know what? That's
it
called
doesn't sound loud
intervention.
Right now.
That's divine intervention. The phone wanted you.
Yes.
I was just saying that the phone wanted her to be connected to us. So that was divine intervention. So I'm not mad at that phone.
And it doesn't sound loud right yet. It doesn't sound loud just yet. So, but I do understand because I've worked in a dry cleaners for 10 years myself. So I understand how dry cleaners do work. And yes, they can get very loud. But yours isn't right now, so that's a great thing. But Hope, you know, we always love having you on the show. You're in your business, you own your own dry cleaners, and you have. And we've talked about some wonderful things new things that are going to be happening with your business. I'm excited about it, and so I'm just really looking forward to getting started with that. I am going to be doing some. Account rep work for her cleaners, and I'm very excited. So,
well, you know, I want to send out a shout. I'm sorry for interrupting, but I want to send out a shout to the dry cleaners, to the fitness gurus, to anybody who's doing something. And again, I want to say the word non-traditional because in our communities, we only want to do the corner stores or fried chicken shacks. But you know, for people who are stepping out, who are opening up business-to-business corporations, who are doing the networking, who are doing the dry cleaners, who are, you know, doing just different business ventures so that their children, their community, and their loved ones can, you know, see more so that they can also be more. And it was a friend of mine in Chicago who showed me, because my vision was skewed. I thought the opportunities in which I'm faced with now, I couldn't have had them, you know, 20 years ago. And he told me, what made you think that? Living in the house and the lifestyle that I'm living now, I thought you had to be married and 40 years old. He's like, who told you that? And so thanks to him that my vision had become broadened and that I was able to see something different for myself. So thanks to the Hope Harpers. Thanks to everyone who goes out there and does something different. Thanks to Mr. Howard, you know, for opening up, you know, the black newspapers there in Philadelphia or New Jersey, I think. And owning a plastic company and doing business with corporations like IBM and the like, doing something that is non-traditional, going against the grain and making their success story. So I just want to send a shout-out to you wonderful people out there today.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Yeah, they need to have a small business month. They have a month for everything else. They need to have a small business awareness month. And so... Yes, so we have many, many, many things. God can give you one idea that will just really help so many people. We also want to give a shout-out this morning and let you know that you can listen to any of the archives here on the Code to Elisa Show anytime you like. Many of them do have the show title listed right next to it. You can get the date, and you can listen to the show per date. If you would like to listen to all the shows that Mr. Walker has hosted, you just look for any date that was a Wednesday, and that will help you with that. Remember, for the entire month of February, every Monday, we had the seminars that were designed by Mr. Paul Kiriazzi, who's been living over in Japan since 1985, I believe, somewhere around that time. He's also a great film director and actor, director and actress. He's worked with people like Greg Norris and Frank Sinatra Jr. and many, many others. I don't want to start naming them because I don't have a list of all the names, but he is there. He will sometimes come on the show. You know, he also has the audio books, gave us that great information about putting together an audio book. Also, want to lift up Ms. Kiva Renee, who also has the Women of Destiny. She also has a monthly meeting where people come together, and she always has a guest speaker to empower and encourage people in their goals, their destinies, and their dreams. Also, she has a radio show right here on Blog Talk Radio that airs 2 days of the week, on Thursday and Friday at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, that's 10 o'clock Central Standard Time. And then you can tune in to her show, Encouraging Moments, right here on Blog Talk Radio Show. That's Kiva Renee. Also, she will be our dance, she will be our guest praise dancer, liturgical dancer, and all the dancers that go together. She will be that person on April 1st and 2nd for that event, and we just have a few minutes left to the show. So I just want to encourage each and every one of you to come to one of our empowering events. You will be empowered to take back your life. You will be empowered to raise your self-esteem. You will be empowered to live the full and complete and dynamic, abundant life that God has created for you. There is no need, absolutely no need to deny yourself God's awesome, limitless abilities that you can have and do what you are passionate about. And there are people who will help you. And so, as Mr. Walker said, no matter what happens, you know, don't give up. And we have just 2 minutes left to the show. Again, thank you, Mr. Walker, for bringing this exciting, yes, this very, very exciting topic. We know we'll see you, we'll hear you one more time before you go off for your self-employment day in Chicago. And we also, I believe, Mr. Dean E. Coles, you said, is also joining you there.
Yeah, I extended the invitation to him, and he accepted immediately. Just, you
okay.
know, I saw his knowledge and his information when it comes down to financing, you know, your business, you know, having capital venture and getting a credit score, you know, right to do so. It was a great addition to what I'm offering, you know, to people for my mentoring and my coaching components that can help, again, strategically align people to go through their dreams and follow their dreams. We know there was, I think, 80,000 millionaires during the Great Depression that were made out of the Great Depression. We would have three times that amount in the next decade from self-employed individuals. But without the right training, without the right finance and strategic alliances, they will fall into that failure component, and we want everyone to succeed.
All right. And on that note, that's it for today. We will see you back here tomorrow. Don't forget our very special guest. She's the CEO of the Sanctuary CEC, Ms. Denise Jenkins. So don't miss it. This has been Coach Lalisa. Have a great, powerful, and awesome day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach Lalisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach Lalisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, There ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach Lil Lisa J. Williams.